The leprechaun. Father's propped up in bed, jaundiced and looking 100, while his indomitable cheerfulness winks through my shock at seeing his frailty anew every time I come back into the room. Methuselah says, "Daniel, you must have heard me calling." Then fakes a death cough, like there is something wrong with his lungs. "Pour us a drink, will you, son?" he adds, gesturing at the stand by the windows. Daniel is supremely respectful with Father, but there is a look that comes across his face which betrays his utter bewilderment. He's wearing it now as he does as he's bid, and I swear his hand is a little unsteady as he gives Father the glass. "Thank you, that's lovely. Now sit down, the pair of you." He indicates either side of the bed, and we do. He glances at me and says, "For the moment, you're a decoration, so be quiet." Then he trains his eyes on Daniel, who looks like a boy of 12 with his yes sir ramrod straight back. "As I've said to you, son, if you upset my daughter, I'll come back to murder you. And don't think I don't have the power. I'm more religious and better connected than I let on. Now, having reminded you of that, I'll remind you that I am a betting man. I have a very sure tip for you. Britain will declare war on Germany by the end of the week, give or take a day, and we will all tag along for the ride. Jingo jangle all the way. And with the call to arms will come heavy profit for heavy industry, which is always an outstanding but less publicised result of war. Ah, if only I'd held off investing in aeronautics till now. But there's no sense in regret. I will offer only one piece of advice. Try not to do anything rash, nor anything you don't want to do.